Let us turn tonight in the Word of God, please, to the New Testament Scriptures and to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews and to the 10th chapter, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And we're reading together from verse number 11. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse number 11. We'll break in there. Hebrews 10, 11. Let us hear the word of God. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with the true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Amen. We will end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. Let us just unite our hearts together, please, in one moment's prayer. And every believer praying. As we said this morning, all too soon the benediction will be pronounced. And evening worship, indeed worship again in the public manner for another Sabbath will have closed. And therefore let us all that know the Lord pray that God will draw near. The Spirit of God will visit us, and bless every heart and meet the need of every soul. Let us all pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and by the merits of his blood, we approach again the throne of grace and of mercy. We thank thee even for this thought that we have read here tonight of boldness into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By that new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil which is to say his flesh. And O God, we confess before thee at this juncture, of great is our need of the help of heaven. And we give, O God, from now to the end of this meeting, very particularly into thy hands. And I confess before heaven and this gathered congregation my complete inadequacy and unworthiness to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Empty me now of self and sin. Wash me completely in the blood of Christ. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. Grant, O God, that divine anointing. Grant that holy baptism which the Lord does give. The anointing to preach. The anointing to hear with profit. Close this meeting in with thyself. Let the atmosphere be purged in the blood of Christ, and rivet our hearts and minds upon the Scriptures, and glorify Christ in all that's said and done. O God, meet the need of every soul. We give it now into thy hands. Let your will be done on earth as it always is in heaven. For we ask it all in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' praise and everlasting glory. Amen. Amen. The book of Hebrews was written to a group of believers described in the third chapter of this book. It was written to those who are described as holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Therefore, Hebrews was written to a people saved by the grace of God, those that had left Judaism behind and come to faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the time of the writing of the book of Hebrews It was written prior to the destruction of the temple in the year AD 70. The temple in Jerusalem, as many of you will know, was destroyed in the year AD 70. But in this 10th chapter, Paul, in writing in verse 11, he spoke about priests who at that time, as he was writing, were officiating in the temple, because he said in verse 11, "And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." The sense of the words there, they were in the present tense, and therefore Paul is saying that it was happening even as he was writing the epistle, and therefore clearly Paul, when writing this, it was before the year AD 70, because the temple was still standing. It was Paul that wrote the letter. Most believe he wrote it from his time in Rome. Now, the Apostle Paul, in this 10th chapter, where we have read tonight, has been continuing to deal with the subject of Christ's sacrificial work of atonement and its superiority over the Levitical sacrifices. And Paul makes it clear in this epistle that the work of expiation is over forever, for Christ has sat down at the right hand of God. Look at verse 12. "But this man," there's our holy Lord, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." And that sitting down signified a finished work of sacrifice, because Christ's sacrifice was one in offering, one in number, one individual offering, one time only. And the apostle makes it clear in this epistle that there is no room for another offerer, another sacrifice, but Christ alone. No other time but the cross work alone. The previous chapter has also said it. Christ, once in the end of the world, has appeared to offer for sins, for the remission of sins. And therefore Paul is showing in this epistle that Christ in his work has so satisfied divine justice that no more sacrifice is needed. As Paul wrote in another letter, the letter to the Romans, "God have set forth Christ to be a propitiation through faith in his blood." But it's only in Christ. It's only in Christ and his finished work. But then verse 15 and 17, where we've read tonight in Hebrews chapter 10, we have Paul quoting from the Old Testament scriptures. He's actually quoting from the book of Jeremiah. Look with me there at verse 15, "Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before," Paul there quoting from Jeremiah. But then he comes down to verse number 17 here in Hebrews 10, again quoting from Jeremiah, "These words that I want to leave before this meeting, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Now, that's the text I want to look at. Marvelous words. A glorious message for anybody that has come into this meeting without Jesus Christ. A glorious message for anybody watching on by means of the web. God says in holy truth, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." I've entitled this message, "A Glorious Message to Every Sinner." The first thing I want to show you from the text is this: the personal ownership of sin. The personal ownership of sin. It was one old preacher who said, "Nobody wants to own their sin." But for all that, this text shows that God knows who does own them. Because he says in the text, "their sins and their iniquities." The word "there," it shows, dear people, the personal nature of sin. The word for sin in the text is the Greek word hermatic. The word "iniquities" is the word "anomia," means lawlessness, sin that was committed. And the Lord draws attention to the personal nature of sin, their sins and iniquities. add it to their account, sin that they were guilty of. The Lord says their sins, their iniquities. And the Holy Ghost, through Paul here in his writings, assures us that God attributes sin and iniquities to those who committed them. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden and the first sin. And Adam fell from that high and holy estate in which he was created. And Adam blamed Eve. And Eve blamed the devil. And they both blamed God. But God blamed Adam, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Dear unsaved, let me make this abundantly clear. Be assured, God will not blame anyone else for another sin. And he won't attribute to anyone else yours. They're yours, mine are mine, our fault, our sins. Sin many have long forgotten about. Sin that people wish they could forget about but can't. Oh, we live in a day when people do not want to discuss the subject of sin. They'll discuss any other subject under heaven, but don't go near the subject of sin, because it's personal. Sin that is devilish. Sin that is dark. It was sin that cast a third of the angelic host out of heaven and made them devils. Sin that is an attack on God and Trinity. Sins of thought. Sins of word. Sins of deed. Sins of omission. When we omit it to do what ought to have been done. Sins of commission, when things are done which shouldn't be done. Oh, dear people, see the personal nature of sin. God says their sins, their iniquities. What does every sin deserve? Our children's shorter catechism gives us the answer. Every sin deserves the wrath of God, both in this life and in that which is to come. By sin, my unsaved friend, I want to say this in great love, and I'm so glad you're here. But by sin, you're in trouble with God. Their sins. Bible says the way of the transgressor's heart. What's the end of sin? You want to judge something? Is it good for you? Is it bad for you? You go to the end of it. What's the end of sin that's unrepented of? The judgment seat of Christ and the fire of eternal hell. There's the end of sin. Let me say this, if any die without Christ, God will never forget what you did. You'll never forget what you did. And what's worse, God will never forgive you in all the countless ages of eternity. Let me make that abundantly clear. Judas Iscariot, that one that went out and betrayed the innocent blood. That one that went out and sold his Lord for 30 pieces of silver. For the last 2,000 years has been banished in the fires of eternal hell. And there's never going to be a moment ever, ever, ever when God will forgive him for what he did. Their sins. Their sins. Let me say this. No one has ever been saved. He doesn't own their sin. Nobody. That's where it all begins, my friend. You've got to own it. It's your sin. You did it. I've did it. We committed them. There's no way of denial. The books of heaven testify against us. You say, preacher, what books? Come with me to Revelation 20. Come in your mind to the final day. Christ upon the throne of judgment. John says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. and the books were opened. They were judged out of the things that were written in the books. You say, preacher, what are the books? Everything you ever did. Everything you ever said. Everything you ever thought, just a lifetime of unforgiven sin, and it's all recorded. You see, it's hopeless. There's no arguing with it. And God here shows us the personal nature of sin, their sins and iniquities. Dear unsaved, think about it. They're your sins. You committed them. They're your fault. And you desperately need them pardoned. You desperately need them forgiven. The personal nature of sin. Secondly, what about the prospect concerning your sin? Look again at verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. At the beginning of the text, you have the sinner and all of their guilt and sin. And the rest of the text, you have God and His grace and mercy, the basis of which is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which Paul has been dealing with in this epistle. Remember what we quoted earlier, verse 12. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You see, dear people, the law had said the wages of sin is death. The law had said the soul that sinneth shall die. And thus either the sinner pays for their sin or somebody else does. But that glorious person that paid for his people's sin was our holy Lord. This man, dear unsaved, there's where to put your sight tonight. There's where to look. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And everybody that looks to Christ will hear these words, thy sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Let me tell you of a woman. She met our Lord one day in Luke chapter 7, it's recorded. And her tears flowed down those cheeks. She couldn't as much as lift her eyes to look upon the Savior. She stood behind Christ weeping. Luke 7 records this beautiful narrative. She couldn't look in the face of the Savior, but she knew that her hope for eternity and finding forgiveness for the wrong that she had done was found in Christ, and she wept before them. But as those tears flowed, that was the great revelation to us all of her repentance, of her coming to Christ. And our Lord said these words to her, I say unto thee, thy sins are forgiven. Thy sins are forgiven. Oh, what a doctrine. The forgiveness of sins. Our Lord turned to the crowd around him. He said unto them, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. The word many there, it means great or much. The Lord knew all about her sins, but the Lord said to that woman, thy sins are forgiven. Have you experienced that? Have you experienced the joy of sins forgiven? Let me take you to another. Luke 23. Come with me in your mind to Calvary. There's three crosses. Our holy Lord's in the middle tree. His blood's been shed. He's dying for sin. You say, preacher, whose was it? Wasn't his, didn't have any. It was mine. It was this preacher's. Sinners like you and I, and he's dying in that middle tree. He's paying for sin. But what about one of the thieves beside him? Moments from perishing. Moments from being lost forevermore. And yet in those moments, as that thief is dying beside our Lord, he comes to Christ with the eye of faith, recognizing that his only hope, if he's ever going to be in paradise, if he's ever going to be in heaven, is the one beside him in the middle tree. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Christ said, today you'll be with me in paradise. You know what the Lord was really saying? Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Thy sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Turn to one portion with me. Go to Psalm 32, please. Psalm number 32. Again, a great psalm about the forgiveness of sins. It starts with these words, blessed, or oh, the happiness. Psalm 32. Oh, the happiness is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now, it was clearly a time in David's life when David had been much troubled about the subject of his sin. Look at verse number 4 of Psalm 32. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moistures turned into the drought of summer. David recognizes that the Lord has been dealing with him, brought him to this place of repentance. And maybe I speak to one tonight in this auditorium, and for days, maybe weeks, maybe years, your soul has been troubled about the subject of your sin, and you know it's never been forgiven, and you know that you're not saved, and yet you know that you need to be saved. You know you dare not die without Christ. Maybe I speak to one sitting in your living room tonight. You can go back many a day, and you can say with David, day and night thy hand is heavy upon me. There's trouble in your soul, conviction of sin. You're concerned about your soul, concerned about where you're going to be in God's everlasting eternity. And may I say, you need to be concerned. You have a soul that will live forever. You have a soul that will never go out of existence. You have a soul that will live forever in either God's heaven or God's hell. And you need to think right now about the subject of the forgiveness of your sins. And I say again, maybe it's why there's been trouble in your soul. And you can say day and night, I go to bed and it's there. I get up in the morning and it's there. I go on my holidays and it's there. This subject of sin unforgiven, this guilt ravaging through your soul. You say, what do I do, preacher? Here's what you do. Do what David did. Verse number 5. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. There's the remedy for sin. Confessing it to the Lord, taking it to him, putting it under the blood, getting it dealt with. And this great promise, thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. There's the prospect if you come. That the Lord will say of you, thy sins and iniquities I will remember no more. The personal ownership of sin, the prospect concerning your sin. What about the promise assured about your sin? Look at verse 17 again of Hebrews 10. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. It's given by God who cannot lie. Your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. My dear friend in this meeting, or again one watching on, lifetime of sin. What a glorious message to you tonight from heaven. Forget about the preacher. God says, if you come to Christ tonight, your sins, your iniquities, I will remember no more. Much like he said through Isaiah, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they'll be as wool. Those words, scarlet and crimson, they're dark colors. They're speaking about the darkness and the wickedness of sins. But the Lord's assuring you tonight, you come, your sins will be forgiven. Thy sins and iniquities will I remember no more. The question is, will you come to Christ tonight? And I mean tonight. I mean right now. There's only one reason, and let me say this. There's only one reason that a man or a woman doesn't come to Christ that knows of a heaven that awaits and a hell that awaits. There's only one reason that they don't come. And it's this: they don't want to. There's something they want. There's something they won't let go. There's something they want to cling to. It's the darling sin. The Bible speaks of it. Maybe I speak to one. And like the psalmist in Psalm 32, you've been troubled many a day. Maybe I speak to some when you've been coming to martyrs a lifetime. And you've heard sermon after sermon, and mission after mission, and preacher after preacher. And you've got to maybe a stage where you've been terribly troubled, but then you come face to face with the darling sin. And you know it's either Christ or the sin. And every moment to this moment, you've chosen that sin. And you've not come. And you've not come. Let me remind you again, God says they're your sins. God puts before you this great prospect. Thy sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. But to this moment, you haven't come. My dear friend, let me say something, and I say it in love to your soul. Whatever stops you coming to faith in Christ will damn you. It'll damn you. And you'll know it has damned you. You know the blood of Christ washes from all sin. You know there's a pardoning God that pardoneth iniquity. And I say to you tonight, for the sake of your soul, whatever that sin is, get rid of it. Let me say something else. Every thought, young person, older person, people watching on internet, whatever thought in your mind right now tells you, no, don't come to Christ tonight, put it off, think about it. Every thought in your mind tonight that stops you coming to Christ came from Lucifer. That's where it came from. He'll say, put it off. Don't come. Hold off. Because he only needs you to hold off until death comes. And then you can't come. This great prospect, this promise is before you, if you come, their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. But my friend, you've got to come. Come again to Calvary. The blood flows. Moses called it atoning blood. Peter called it precious blood. John called it cleansing blood. Christ said, my blood for the remission of sins. And I say to you, every believer that takes the cup around the communion table and thinks about the blood of Christ, these emblems, those emblems of the cup and the bread, speaking of the broken body and shed blood, you know what those emblems tell us? For everyone that partakes, your sins and iniquity I've remembered no more. They're gone. Under the blood. Forgiven. Pardoned. I tell you, sinner friend, there's not a word like it in the world. To be forgiven by God. To be pardoned by God. To be washed in the blood of Christ. to have the righteousness of Christ imputed to you. I say, where but the gospel of Christ could you get a message that thy sins and iniquities I'll remember no more? Maybe one here, you say, preacher, my conscience taunts me. I've done things I wish I never had done. So have we all. But the Bible makes it clear that the conscience lies at peace under the atoning blood. Because the blood tells that sinner, your sins and iniquities I'll remember no more, and you can go into through life and come to death and know that you and those sins will never meet again. They're gone. You say, preacher, I struggle with things. Listen, my friend, there's no power but the power of the blood of Christ can't break it. There's no power in sin that the grace of God can't subdue. Come to Christ tonight. Seek Him with all your heart. That's the will of God for every unsaved soul in this meeting and those watching on in your living room, wherever you are. Come to Christ. Seek Him. You have God's holy word on it. You come. Your sins and iniquities are gone. Personal nature of sin, the prospect concerning it, the promise given about it, but the peril that is also in view. The peril is here. Verse 17, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. The peril is clear. If you never come to Christ, you'll never be forgiven. And your sins will be your sins not only tonight, but they'll be your sins forevermore. There's no other sacrifice. There's no other work. There's no other effort. There's but one way. There's but one hope. There's but one remedy. But it's a sure hope. It's a certain remedy. And therefore, unsaved friend, I say to you tonight, come to Christ. Seek Christ. Come through for Christ. All these terms that you've maybe heard a lifetime. Repent, believe the gospel. Turn from sin. Flee to the Savior. Because there is but one remedy presented. Christ's blood. Christ's righteousness. O Lord my God. Reverend Horatius Bonner was a Scottish Presbyterian minister. He wrote the words of that great communion hymn, "Here, O my Lord, I see thee face to face. Here would I touch and handle things unseen. Here grasp with firmer grasp the eternal grace, and all my weariness upon thee lean." And in that great hymn he said this, "Mine is the sin, but Christ the cleansing blood. Mine is the guilt, but Christ the righteousness. There is my rope, my refuge, and my peace. Christ's blood, Christ's righteousness. O Lord my God." Sinner, the work of Christ has satisfied divine justice. The work of Christ has propitiated divine wrath toward all that trust in Him. And if you come to Christ tonight, you can say with that old hymn writer, "There is my rope, my refuge, and my peace. Christ's blood, Christ's righteousness. O Lord, my God, will you come?" Will you come? It's your sin, the personal nature of it here so clearly revealed, their sins, their iniquities. But you have this great promise from heaven to your soul tonight. If you come to Christ, you'll be pardoned, forgiven, saved, reconciled to God. You'll begin a journey this very night in Martyrs Memorial Free Presbyterian Church that'll terminate at the gates of everlasting glory. But will you come? Remember what I said? Every thought in your mind right now that tells you to put it off, hold back, don't come, that's not the thoughts from a friend. An enemy have done that. That's the enemy of your soul. Because he knows if you come, you're saved. You're pardoned. You're forgiven. You'll be in heaven where he'll never be, for he was put out. Will you come? Will you seek Christ tonight? If I could carry you to Christ, I would do it. So would every believer in this meeting, my friend. You sitting in your living room, watching in your phone, whatever. Come to Christ. Seek him. Seek him now. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer. When everybody praying, the Lord's people praying, dear unsaved, let me say again to you, you need Christ, my friend. We're so glad to see you here. We know he's unsaved in. We're so glad to see you. Oh, friend, come to Christ tonight. If you want to speak to me, come through to the little room, the back of the pulpit here. I'll speak to you after the service. I'll not be going to the door, obviously, because of the situation with the virus. You just make your way in this little door on my right. The joy to sit down and point you to the Savior. But my friend, above all, just where you are, come. Lift your heart heavenward. Lord, be merciful. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Take the words of the psalmist, forgive my sins for their many. And know tonight the joy of sins forgiven. And know that your sins and iniquities will be remembered no more. Lord, take your word. Apply it by the Holy Ghost. Let all that's been of Tom Laverty fall to the ground, for it's worthless. Let all that has been of God, thy holy truth, write it indelibly in every heart. Give deciding grace. Bind the devil. We plead the blood against him. Bring souls through for God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.